Thanks a lot, Maynard. Yeah, the virtual county fair going on right outside the Q92 radio studios. Still got some mini donuts, some corn dogs, cookies, some cotton candy here as well for fair food. Since we're not having county fairs this year, we're doing a little version of that outside today. It goes till 6 o'clock. Just want to invite everybody down to our block party kind of thing that we're doing. And it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, and many donuts ran out there, Paul. I think they're just about out of many donuts. Yep, so it'll be cotton candy and corn dogs.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe next year for mini donuts. Anyway, usually during the county fair, La Caparra Farm Bureau always recognizes Century Farms in La Caparra County, and we're going to continue that tradition that we usually do on Q92 here with Dave Craigmile from La Caparra Farm Bureau. Thanks, Dave, for coming.
You're welcome. Yes, enjoy being here today. It's a great day. The sun's got pretty good power to it, so it's nice. It's actually pretty warm out here. Just dandy.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit before we talk to our Century Farm family. Let's talk a little bit about what is the La Caparra Farm Bureau. What's that all about, Dave?
Well, let's back up a little bit with Farm Bureau, because bureaus, some of you, you know about the Weather Bureau, Census Bureau, or the FBI or something like that. A bureau is a group of people that get together to work on issues. And, of course, with the Farm Bureau, they get together to work on farm issues. And the crux of it is it all leads back to the Smith-Lever Act of 1914, and that was the County Extension Act.
Okay.
And so Farm Bureaus started up around that time to enable the Extension Service, which came through a land-grant university, to function in each of the counties across the country. And the idea was then you would enable farmers to communicate with the universities and experts and other farmers as well and the public about farm issues. And so we've been doing that in La Caparra County since 1916.
Oh, wow.
And Minnesota officially organized in 1919, as well as the American Farm Bureau in 1919. So Farm Bureau has been, in La Caparra County here for 104 years. And, we've got a sesquicentennial farm representative here today. That's 150 years.
Is that the first 150-year farm in La Caparra County?
That's exactly it. And, you know, when I saw that name, knowing the townships, I said right away, I said, I'll bet you there's a relative there. That's how that township got its name. And sure enough. So, And the Century Farm and the Sesquicentennial Farm Program got going at the time of the American Bicentennial, in other words, 1976, is when it all started.
Okay.
So Century Farms were for, obviously, 100 years, but back in 1976, you really didn't have 150-year farms yet then, because we didn't become a state till 1858,
okay.
So anyway, it was in 1976 that the Century Farm program started up, and since that time, there's just under 1,100 Century Farms in Minnesota.
Wow.
And this year, there's 154 in the state.
Okay.
And as far as sesquicentennial farms, there's been about 400 since that started up, with 40 this year.
Wow.
So.
And the first one ever in La Caparra County, then.
And the first sesquicentennial, okay, or 150th in La Caparra County, yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, so you want to name our 100-year Century Farm?
Oh, sure. We got Fran, or Chuck and Fran Trigested, and they were in Agassiz and Perry Townships, is where their relatives originally homesteaded or started up there.
Right.
And Charles is confined to the home here in Dawson, in Madison, and so he couldn't be here today, and his wife is as well. But.
Right.
We're really privileged to have Lee Antho, and actually his sister is here today, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ann is standing out here, so we're real pleased to have him here today.
All right. Yeah, to stick around a little bit, sure. Dave, and Lee Antho joins us. Thanks for coming to Madison. Where do you live now, Lee?
Davidson, North Carolina.
Okay. Congratulations on 150 years in the family farm.
Yeah,
pretty exciting, isn't it?
Almost as old as I am. Yeah, it's interesting, especially this prompted us to go back and do a little digging into family history. I mean, we had the basic stuff down, but we learned some things about our great great uncles.
Great uncles.
Who homesteaded here, and along with our great grandfather.
Okay.
And so I can go through that whenever.
Yeah, yeah. So you get, that's pretty special to be the first 150-year farm in Lac Parle County.
The it was an interesting way to sort of go back and look, because, you know, my dad, you know, you talk to your parents about this stuff, and, you know, my grandfather, you know, he died when I was relatively young, but, you know, talked about some of that. But when you go back and look at it, and, you know, and it's some of the things that, you know, they got accomplished. And the interesting thing that we learned was that, first of all, this Western Minnesota wasn't their first stop in Minnesota. When they emigrated from Norway, from the Telemark area, they went to Fillmore County, which is in southeastern Minnesota by Preston, and apparently were there for no more than 3 years before coming up here in 1869. Yeah, so that was, you know, before Lac Parle was a county, a couple of years before that. So if you look at a lot of the land records, it shows 1872, because I think that's the first time there was, you know, official platting and documentation on stuff. But but it turns out that our two great uncles had homesteaded in Fillmore County. So when they migrated up here to what is now Lac Parle County, they used different last names to homestead, because apparently you couldn't homestead twice in the same state. And on that. So, you know, we started out as a family of criminals and progressed from there. So it's, yeah, if you look at the early plat books, and so my great uncle Nils used the last name Moan. And of course there's been a lot of Moans around here.
Yep.
And Hover, a great uncle, used the last name. I've seen it two different ways: Fla, F-L-A-A, or Flata, F-L-A-A-T-A.
Okay.
On that, but they all homesteaded together on the ridge, looking over the Minnesota River out in what is now Hanto Township.
Wow.
And you know, the township was, it says it was named after Halber Hanto, but at the time the township was formed, he was using a different last name, so I'm not sure who it was really named after. Probably just all three brothers. Yeah.
So you're, again, let me get this right, your great-grandfather, Ole?
Ole, yeah.
He came from Norway.
Yes.
In 1869 or so, huh?
Yeah, they probably came over in about 1866, but got to Lac Parle County in 1869.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of, you know, what did they do on their farm? What did they raise?
Well,
about everything back then, or?
Yeah, it was, the first building built on the farm was a granary, like probably most people did, which still stands today, and you know, it had, you know, these little bins that held maybe 200 bushels or something like that in it, and then in about the early 1870s, they built a house, but as far as we can tell, and there's no documentation or photographs, you know, they lived in a sod house, kind of a, dug a basement and put sod over it to live in initially.
Okay.
And then,
Where exactly is this homestead located then?
It's Highway 119, and then it's at the northern end of the county. It's it's County Road 68, and it's probably most frequently known now for Hanto Beach, which is a project that my nephew did as an Eagle Scout with the DNR to build a 2-acre parking area ramp.
Okay, yeah, I know where that is. Yeah.
So we're the land to the south and to the west of that.
Okay.
On that.
All right. So, anything else on the history there that you'd like to mention?
Well, it's the first, they don't know if it's the first school in Black Apparel County or not, but there was a log cabin school built on the property. So my two great uncles built that. Halver was pretty much a carpenter besides being a farmer, and then Nels helped out with it, and that was built out logs, and that's now been relocated, so it's at the Black Apparel Historical Museum, to the just to the south of the main building there. That log building was the original.
That's your family.
That's the Hanthill School, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, and, the school, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it's literally, you know, one room. I mean, it's the, and they're, and the half acre that was deeded to the school is still a separate deed. You know, when we get our tax bills and that, we've got a half acre piece of land there that was part of that section on that. So that's been preserved, and it's in great shape. And there's, you know, the Black Apparel County Historical Museum has done a great job of putting stuff together.
Right.
I mean, on all the townships, they really are a treasure trove of information there.
Okay. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your generation then on the farm?
Well, yeah, my, well, first of all, my great-grandfather had, there were seven kids in that family, and one of which was my grandfather, and then, and so my dad was born on the farm out there, went to school in Madison, and my mom came from Big Bend Hagen area, and so she went to school in Montevideo. But then my parents, or my dad, bought the farm in 1930. I knew I'd need my cheat sheet.
Yep, that's all right. You can look at your notes.
Yeah, he bought it in 1939, which was about 3 years after he graduated from high school.
Oh, wow.
And then we bought it from them in the late 70s. So, yeah, grew up on the farm, and it's...
What were some of the farm's major crops?
Well, when I was growing up, we had, you know, everything, corn and beans, and always had some wheat. Once in a while, had some flax and oats, and then pigs and chickens and cattle on that. And, of course, a big change there was when they did the flooding of the Minnesota River to create Lac qui Parle Lake. So that's took up some of the land that was part of the original homestead for all of the...
I'm sorry, they did what?
They flooded the... Lac qui Parle Lake used to be quite small, and when they did the flood project back in the WPA days in the 30s, I believe it was, that took a lot of the prairie land and pasture land that was... down. So if you look at Lac qui Parle Lake, it's the east side is essentially the Minnesota River, and then everything else got flooded over towards our homesteading.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, so my dad talks about, I mean, he can remember that from when he was little. You know, they used to put up hay down there and then haul it up into the barn.
All right, and so what are some of the big changes? How long were you on the farm then?
Well, born in 49 and lived there until we went off to college at Concordia in Moorhead, and then did my graduate work at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. But we've been coming back, you know, every year, and we lived in Minneapolis for many years in Edina.
Okay.
And now that Jennifer and I are both... mostly retired, we're out there quite a bit doing a lot of siding and shingling and painting and cutting trees and all the things that you neglected for the last 20 years.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have relatives around here then? Why don't you mention who they are?
Just my sister, Ann Borsted, from Dawson, and she and Tim have, you know, they lived on a farm for years and recently moved into town. They want to say in town. They're actually at the edge of town, so they don't want to be city slickers.
Got to keep them on the farm, right?
On that. So, you know, so it's our goal over the next year to sort of finish the rehab work on the farm, you know, putting in new windows and things like that, and, you know, keep it in good shape.
The acreage,
223 acres left, on the farm.
All right.
So it's, and... one of the big projects is, you know, we used to have pasture that came up close to the house, and cattle would keep everything down, and box elder trees decided to grow there, so we're trying to take those back down, and so we can see the lake again from the house. So that's
interesting.
That's the objective, yeah.
Okay, interesting. Anything else? I see you got brought a lot of notes with you there. Anything else that we should mention, or
the
150 years in the family?
Yeah, I think we've covered, you know, most of it. Yeah, my like I say, my dad went to school here in Madison, as did one of his sisters.
What was his name?
Merlin.
Okay.
And so it's but it's it's interesting. Certainly appreciate, you know, Farm Bureau doing all the effort they put in to create these recognitions and that, and just all the record keeping that goes with it. It's I think it's a big plus, and it's, don't want to lose that heritage, you know.
And it's good to get everything written down on paper, right, to pass on to the next generation.
Yeah, kind of keep it so, you know, so they can keep their story straight anyway.
All right. Well, congratulations, Lee, to you and your family. First 150 farm family in Loughborough County. That's pretty cool.
Great. We appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
Yep. Thanks for coming. All the way from North Carolina.
Yes.
A little warm there this summer?
Well, we spent most of the summer here.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I was back there last week, and it was 95 for 5 days in a row.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Can live without that.
I guess we're going to take our picture here in a little bit.
Okay.
The newspaper people want to visit with you, too. So thanks a lot, Lee. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, Dave, you got your annual meeting, Farm Bureau annual meeting tonight.
Coming
talk
up
about
this
that.
Evening. Yep, that's our 104th annual meeting. So
104.
Yeah, right. But,
and you've been to how many of them?
Let's see. I've been a member for 45 years, or since I moved back here in 1975, I guess. But so it's time to pass the torch a little bit here, too, on my side. But I'm active with the Historical Society here as well, and so this is important, especially this 150 continuous years.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I mean, I've got a great-great-grandfather that, you know, established in Loughborough County in Maxwell Township in 1872, but it's not been continuous.
Okay, yeah.
You know? And there's a country school involved with that, too, but I own the 2 acres for the country school. So anyway, well, thanks very much.
You bet. And I appreciate you coming in. Thanks all for all the work you guys do in Farm Bureau.
You bet.
Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
And I tell you what, we're going to visit with Warren Trigestead. Warren is the only Loughborough Century Farm this year, right?
That's correct.
Okay. The Trigestead family coming up next here on Q92.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Radio, and joining us right now is Warren Trigestead and his father, Charles, or Chuck Trigestead. They are the Loughborough County Century Farm, 100 years of farming in the family, on the same farm, right, Warren?
Yeah, we've been here 100 years, obviously, not me, but I think my dad, he was born on the farm and lived there his whole life.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So that's quite a feat. Never moved.
Yeah. Never moved from the farm. That's pretty good. A lot of people can't say that, can they?
No, they can't. That's for sure.
Well, congratulations on being a Century Farm, Warren and Chuck, and Fran as well. Fran is here too. Warren, why don't you just tell us a little about the history of the Trigestead Farm?
Well, Paul, you know, got quite the history, just like a Century Farm would.
Yeah.
Our family immigrated from Norway in the late 1800s. My great-grandfather, Lars Jr., came across on the ship Baltic to New York City in 1886 from Liverpool, England. He was just 21 years old. And, in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis area, Lars met his wife, Ellen Flydahl, who had also immigrated from Norway. They didn't know each other in Norway, but they met when they were in Minneapolis. She was working as a maid for Dr. Northrop, who was at the time was the president of the University of Minnesota. And that's what Northrop Auditorium up at the Twin Cities campus is named after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So after they married, they moved to Gibbon, Minnesota and started farming. There my grandfather, Naker, and his siblings were born. Farming didn't work out there, so Lars bought a farm north of Odessa in 1902, sight unseen. Lars and his oldest son, Lewis, moved there belongings in covered wagons to Big Stone County. The rest of the family came later on a train. Mm. They got the better end of the deal on that.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. The farm in Big Stone County proved to be rocky and unproductive. My great-grandfather was hard-pressed to provide for his family, so in 1916 he purchased 400 acres of prime farm ground east of Bellingham in Lacaparl County. It is the farm that my mother still lives on. That's our Century Farm.
Okay.
They traded the Odessa farm and borrowed $24,000 from the bank, which back in that day was a lot of debt.
Oh, wow, I guess. What year was that, roughly?
1916.
Okay.
That September, they made the move to Lacaparl County. They once again loaded up the covered wagons and drove the livestock through the river bottoms, that's the bottoms north of Bellingham, to their new farm. My grandfather and his siblings attended country school a half a mile north of the new farm. Rosie Runglin, she's a big Bellingham native, and Leah Trigeston were the teachers. The family prospered many years on the Lacaparl County land. They planted oats, wheat, barley, and corn. They also milked cows, raised feeder cattle, hogs, and chicken. They traded the cream and butter for eggs and eggs for other groceries in town. In 1918, the family bought its first automobile, a Ford touring car, Model T. Yeah, at that time, the roads weren't very good, so even though they had the car, they used horses and buggies most of the time. At the same time frame, the first tractor was purchased, a bright yellow machine called Common Sense. Now, that's one I've never heard of.
Never. Nope.
But apparently, that's what it was. From then on, a threshing machine was added, and Naker, my grandfather, and Louis, his brother, threshed grain all over the county. The Turin farmhouse went through a remodel in 1926. The house was lifted. Can you imagine that, lifting a house up in 1926?
To put a basement in?
Yeah, to put a basement, okay. Yep. And they put a cistern in so they could have running water. In 1927, electricity was added and a generator was added. The well on the farm had very soft water, so the people in Bellingham would come to the farm and purchase water.
Oh.
And also the Bellingham School got the water from that farm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And in 1929, a wooden crank and hauler phone was installed. And we found an old phone book, and Lars's phone number was listed, and the phone book is 708.
Different phone number back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, that's for sure. And actually, things were going really well until the dirty 30s.
Yep.
You can imagine that.
Yep.
The drought came, and prices hit rock bottom. Through the thriftiness of the farm, it survived. And in 1933, the farm participated in the Soil Erosion Service, and shortly after that, the drought ended. So then in 1937, Lars, my great-grandfather, died from a heart attack. My grandmother passed away 20 years later. She spent her last 20 years, she spent her later years in the new 1952 division of the North Lutheran Home.
Okay.
She was one of the first residents.
Wow.
Yeah. My grandfather, Naker, stayed on the farm and married Lilas Manson in 1941, and one son, my dad, Charles, was born in 1942. He was an only child.
Okay.
Naker purchased many pieces of equipment, including an International Farm All-M, a Super C, three-bottom plow, a John Deere 55 combine with no cab. The farm didn't get a cab combine until 1966.
Oh, wow.
So they struggled quite a while without a cab. Yeah. He raised beef cattle and picked a lot of the corn on the cob and cribbed it. He also purchased a 12-foot field cultivator. We now have a 45-foot.
Yeah.
To pull behind the M. And a 4-row cultivator to put in front of the Super C.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was super.
Yeah, super.
Yeah. We still have many of the same tractors. My dad remembers Naker, his dad, getting off the tractor at the end of each round of the field and pull a wire tight called checking corn. This was to get the row straight.
Oh.
My grandfather, Naker, battled with emphysema for many years and died in 1966. His brother, Louis, came to help my dad on the farm. When Lilas died a number of years later, my dad became the proud owner of the Trigeston farm, a lifelong dream of his.
Oh, cool.
My dad married Fran Mork in 1962. They made many changes. A barn, corn cribs, chicken coop, and a hog house were tore down, and a new hog barn was built to farrow 25 hogs and finish them out.
Oh.
We did it all in tens, and it was all out of manual labor, not like it is now.
Nope.
A dryer bin was built, and a cab combine was purchased, and things were going actually pretty good. Into this marriage, three children were born. Charlene, who now lives in Tennessee, Neil, who lives in New Prague, and me, who I just live east of the home farm.
Okay.
We all grew up working on the farm. Seems like all we did was pick rocks and pull weeds. But actually, we did have a lot of fun working on the farm.
Right.
A big improvement was the bean bar, where we could ride and spray the weeds at the same time. We thought that was great. We shouldn't have been doing it. We were squirting each other and all that, you know. Wasn't a good situation, but that's what we did.
I'm a city boy. I rode the bean bar a few times. Area farmers.
Yeah, and all of us are still involved on the family farm in some way.
Yeah.
I started farming full-time in 1996 after my dad's he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, progressed, and he and Mom just couldn't quite handle all very much anymore. So, and we've been able to expand the farm further and make many improvements, such as much larger equipment, obviously, and things that went actually pretty well.
Yep.
So that's kind of the history of the farm.
Wow, that is a rich history of the Triggerstead family on one farm. That's pretty cool, Warren.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that when you're reading that and you read about your relatives that came over here?
I never really realized, you know, all the struggles they went through. And, you know, as a kid, you watch the Westerns and stuff, you know, covered wagons. You never really thought that your great-grandparents and stuff came across, you know, the land in covered wagons and drove the livestock through the bottoms north of town. It was very, very humbling. To be honest with you, Paul.
Right. So when your dad Chuck bought the farm, he built a barn and a bunch of the buildings on the farm then, huh?
Yes. Yep. The barn was there. He actually took the barn down and rebuilt the hog house and stuff like that. You know, we've seen many changes, you know, on the farm, you know.
Like what changes have you seen?
Obviously you start with horses, to small tractors and equipment. And now we got four-wheel drives and other tractors that steer themselves, actually.
Yep.
Combines have yield monitors and technology to precisely apply the seeds and fertilizers, not only by the acre, but by the foot. You know, so that was a big deal. And also, another big change that I have seen on the farm and my dad is, too, is the labor requirement. We now farm more acres in a fraction of the time it took before, with much less physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are putting more drain tile in the ground, and we are doing everything we could to try to maximize the productivity of the farm.
The yield,
which has really been a, you know, that's the time we're in.
Right.
We got to produce as many bushels as we can.
Right. How about the? You mentioned hogs. That's what you're in, not cattle or dairy or anything like that.
No. As young, we just farrowed to finish 25 hogs, about 250 pigs a year.
Okay.
And you know, it's kind of funny thing is when my brother and I and Charlene all went to college, all of a sudden the hogs disappeared too.
Smart.
I wonder why.
Smart move by your dad then.
Yeah, dad and mom, they had enough of the chores. They maybe kept them on for a year or so, but it wasn't very long.
Yep. That's right. anything else you want to say?
Yeah, you know, we've had many challenges in the farm. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, there has been many. But, you know, the way I and my family, my dad and mom, we look at challenges as opportunities, you know. There have been the challenges we've all faced on the farm, such as wildly fluctuating commodity prices, you know, the unpredictable weather, trade embargoes, trade wars, depressions, recessions. You know, they've all been a lot of challenges and opportunities. But probably the biggest challenge our family has been my father's diagnosis of multiple sclerosis back in 1986. You know, he farmed many years with it without really, no one really knew, but finally it got bad enough, and now he's in a wheelchair full time, and he's actually a resident of the Madison Lutheran Home.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, you know, he is still actively involved with the farm. He still buys inputs and equipment and sells his portion of the grain.
Nice.
He's also giving me and my siblings advice all the time and coming up with more jobs for us to do on the farm. I think he sits all day thinks about what Warren can do. it's never ending.
Yeah.
another equally as big a challenge was passing on the farm to the new generation, you know. And I had asked him a while ago on kind of his philosophy on that, and kind of in closing, this is what he said. Communication is the key between generations. Giving up control is a very tough challenge. When to pass the farm on to the next generation takes a lot of soul searching. It is not the ground, it is not the crops, it is not the animals, it's not the machinery that makes a farmer. It's the faith, the hard work, and the love of it that makes a farmer. Farm life has been a sweet life. I love the farm. It's been my lifelong passion and my hobby as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the way our farm is kind of run the last 100 years.
And,
you know, hopefully it'll go for another 100.
That's right. Family's everything, isn't it, Warren?
Yeah, it really is. You know, every family has its challenges and opportunities like we just talked, but, you know, it's the strong that persevere through.
Right. And I'm sure you learned a lot of traits from your dad.
Oh, yeah.
What hard work is and stuff like that?
Yeah. And I've tried to pass that on to my children as well, and I know my brother and my sister have too. So, you know,
great.
We've all did a lot of work on the farm, and it's been very rewarding.
That's right. Well, Warren, Chuck, thanks for helping out here today. Appreciate it, and congratulations on 100 years.
Thank you very much.
On the farm. That's great. That was a great story.
Yeah.
Well done, so.
Well, I have to put all the credit all to my mother. Yep. She spent a long time doing all the research, and I basically just had to kind of summarize it and give it to you today on the radio.
Well, it's good to put family history down on paper so you can pass that on to the next generation too, right?
That's what my dad said last night. He says, for sure you keep that in a safe place.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do.
All right. Thanks, Warren, for your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
Yep. That's Warren Trigestad along with Chuck and Fran here. Century Farm, Clockapaw County Century Farm.